Part of our commitment at Cornerstone is to continue to raise people up to declare that greatness. Some of us do it by Todd Wilson's spiritual gift, which is lifting and toting. Other of us do that by speaking and sharing. We do it in our careers, and we also do it by continuing to raise up more people that declare his goodness. Wendell's been studying for the ministry, is in the middle of preparing for his credentials. We've already heard the Lord share significant words for our church through his life, and we invited him on this Family Sunday as we give thanks to share a word that we can respond to. So Lord, we just thank you for Wendell. We thank you for his life, for his passion, for his family, Lord. We thank you for the authentic life of integrity he lives as, Lord, he works full-time, as he serves at the church, as he, Lord, works and co-leads with Anidra, so many of the children's ministries. And we just ask now that you would bless the word that would come through him, that we would hear it with power and might this morning. In Christ's name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you, brother.
First of all, I'm kind of loud. I'd like to thank Pastor Sean for giving me the opportunity to speak. I believe God's given me a word, and I'm really excited about it. So before I start, if you will help me out, if you can just repeat after me, can you say I'm anointed to live this life? Okay. Now that you said that, because I asked you to say it, I want you to think about it. And if you really mean it, if you can say it again, I'm anointed to live this life. Okay, good. So if you say that and you mean it, you believe like I do, that no matter what happens, no matter what test or trial we go through, you're going to make it because God has anointed you to be who you are. You're called, and God has a purpose for each and every single person. You're not here by mistake or by accident. You're not here because your parents prayed for a child and God just blessed them with you. No, no, that's not the case. God has purpose for you. We're really grateful for 2013. I know people have come up and they said, I'm thankful for the, God and what he's done for my life. I know Anidra and I are thankful that in February we came here and got a church family, which is great because well, I'll share a little bit of our testimony. But before I do that, I just want to dive right in because I want to be really quick because nobody likes a preacher that's all day long. Especially my Cowboys will be beating the Redskins this evening without Tony Romo, so I just thought I'd... I'm not scared of y'all, none of you. All right, now if you can just forgive me as we move forward. I'm going to be speaking out of Exodus chapter 14, verse 10. Here we have the Israelites who have been under slavery for about 400 years. They're under the bondage to the Egyptians. And God has sent Moses to set them free. Very popular story. Here God uses 10 plagues. If you're an Israelite, you will consider this plague as a blessing because God used these plagues to set you free. So I like to think of them as 10 blessings. And so, as we know the story, Pharaoh finally gives in, and he lets the Israelites free. So, verse 10, here we go. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. And they were so terrified. And they cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you, leave us in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians, leave us in our slavery? Isn't that just crazy? I don't know. It's like trying to let somebody free out of prison and they don't want to let go, you know? It's trying to bring someone to the next level and they don't want to go, you know? You're trying to help someone get well and they just want to stay sick. Now, either these people are just absolutely nuts, I don't know, hooked on self-abuse, they just love to be in pain, or maybe out of the scripture there's a revelation that change is difficult, and though it costs you so much to change that we just give up on our dreams or give up on the promise of God, I mean, it's not easy to get to where you want to go in the kingdom, amen? I mean, it's hard. I mean, everybody wants to go to the promised land, right? But nobody wants to go through the wilderness. The problem is, the only way to get to the promised land is to go through the wilderness. And the fear of where you are on your journey causes many people to regret stepping out in the first place and long for the normalcy of slavery. What makes a battered wife stay with an abusive husband? What makes a person who, you know, they want to go back to school to get to the next level, but they're too afraid to go back? What is it? It's the fear of the unknown. It's the temptation of fear, the thought of fear that keeps you from going to where you want to go. They said, you should leave us in Egypt because we were safe. Sometimes you may have to forfeit your safety to get to your solution. I just want to share with you for a little bit our story. Anidra and I, some of you, I've shared it a little bit, but we started out in Hampton, and life was really good. I had a job. I was getting overpaid. Have you ever been overpaid? It's a good thing. I mean, you're getting more money than what you're worth. And so life was good. I had a job. Nidra had a job. I mean, bills were paid on time. Everybody was eating. Everything was just wonderful. If you don't understand why I just did that, I work with kids. Kids, we do that all the time when we're happy. I've never seen a kid do that and was upset. So that's where we were. Everything was just great. And so, you know, I said, you know what, God? I knew I was called, but, I mean, I was getting older, so I thought. And so I tried to make myself feel better by saying, hey, God, I'm perfect. I'm fine where I am right now. You don't have to do anything. Just keep me right here. That was kind of silly, but anyway, I said it. And I'll never forget, you know, a couple days went by. I was laying in the bed. Nidra and I were in the bed, and God spoke to me. And I'm going to make this really quick because it's a long, drawn out. It's a whole other sermon in itself. But God said, one day I'm calling you into full-time ministry now, today. And I said, okay, God, you know, great. He said, but you're going to go through something. You're going to go through some bad things are going to happen, but don't worry. It's going to all work together for good. And when God says that, the only thing you think about is the bad. What in the world are you going to do to me, God, that's bad? I don't get it. What's going on? Well, I said, well, I told Anidra about it, and she said, okay, well, we'll just trust God and whatever, God, your will. So we went to sleep. It wasn't even 24 hours. I got up that morning, went to work, got canned. Boom, you're fired. Well, I guess they realized that they were overpaying me and then get somebody else to come in. And I'm like, all right, that's just great. So, okay, so I'm kind of like excited. I'm kind of scared. I'm kind of, all of these emotions are going on. God provided. God was faithful to us. I didn't have a job for 8 months. We didn't lose a thing. We still had cable. We still had cell phones. I'm still happy. I'm good, you know, and so, you know, time goes by, and we meet a guy, and he tells us about a program in Florida, in Orlando, Florida. So we go, and we visit with the people, and the heavens open up, and God says, go here. And so we went. I mean, we packed up everything. I had four kids. You got to understand, I didn't have a job in Florida. This was just God said, and we did. And I remember we packed everything up, and we were staying with our parents for like a week or two before we left. And again, we talk a lot at night in the bed, I guess. So Nidra looks over to me and she says, Wendell, are you sure God told you this? And the fear that gripped me when she said that, I said, you know what? I'm not going to let fear keep me from doing what God has called us to do. And so we went there. And when we got there, it was amazing because the first person we met was someone on staff. And he told me, man, you are crazy for coming here. I can't stand this place. I'm trying to leave. Imagine how great that was. And so, all right, I try to, all right, that's just the enemy attacking me or whatever. So we get there. We get plugged in. I start joining the youth team, and, you know, we're ministering. And Nidra joins the children, and she's ministering. And they see the call in her life, and she's doing a great job. So they basically put her in charge of everything. Great. It's wonderful. Now, mind you, she didn't even want to do ministry, but yet she's doing it. She has a pretty good job. She's all right. But so anyway, we get there, and, you know, it's like we meet a lot of people instantly. We have a lot of friends. People are all around us. Everything's great. Oh, yeah, okay, this is great. I look really smart now. I'm hearing from God now. Everybody said I shouldn't go, and it's working out right. Ha, I was right. So, but as time goes on, more and more people kept saying to me, oh, I don't know about this, man. You should leave. Well, we started to see some things that we didn't like. And so we took it to God, and we felt like God was saying that we could take a step back and leave that body. And there were some other doors opening, so I was kind of excited about those other things that were opening up. So we decided we blessed them, and we moved on. So we moved on, but those doors shut. So we're in Florida. And mind you, when you leave a church, I know it's not here, that would never happen here, but sometimes when you leave a church, you lose everybody. So here we are. We're in Florida, and we're all alone. I don't know a soul in the state. My family is 13 hours away, and my wife is upset. And fellas, how many of you know, when your wife's unhappy, it's just not, I'm telling you, it's not a good place. So we're here, we're in Florida, we're miserable, and just like the children of Israel, just like when they said to Moses, you know, I told you to leave us in Egypt. I was like, God, look at you. See, now you got me out here in Florida, all right? Everything was good. Everything was, and it's not like that anymore. You know, I told you to leave me in Hampton. We were eating good. Had shrimp. No shrimp anymore. But it's crazy how God works out. It's crazy how he works out. So he did get us out of Florida. We went to New Jersey. I'm not even going to get on that. That was just a whole nother story in itself. But had I not took my step of faith out, I'd never be here today. Yeah. So I just want to go over, this is really going on really quicker than I thought, but I just want to go over some points about your purpose. I mean, I'm still trying to get there, but God has a plan for you as well. Some of you don't even know what you're called, why you're even created. And I pray that today will start your journey. All right? The first thing I noticed about the Israelites, when you start going to your call, when you start going in that direction, here comes the enemy. The Israelites didn't even get two steps before Pharaoh came marching after them, right? And the first thing they do, they, oh my God, here comes Pharaoh, take me back. Take me back, that's it, I'm not dealing with this, I told you. But no, check this out. The first thing they did is they cried out to the Lord. Great, awesome. Congratulations to the Israelites, they cried out to God, right? So, in order for you to get to where you want to go, the first thing you've got to do is have a relationship with God. You got to have conversation with the Lord. I'm talking about the kind that's not necessarily fun. Yeah, I said it, it's not always fun to pray to God. You're doing a lot of talking. Father God, I just thank you for what you're doing right now. Lord, I just pray that you reveal to me what's going on, Lord. I just pray that I lay down. I just give you praise, Father, for everything. And Lord, I just want to do it all the time. Do it all the time. But it's a process. It's crazy. You got to understand what God says about you. It's going to take you two or three times of really getting in God's face to understand what God says about you. Because God, what God thinks about you is just shocking. I mean, when he says it to you, you're like, God, you really don't know me, do you? You know? But you don't want to say that to God because God knows everything. But God talks to you like he doesn't know what you know to be true about you. That makes sense. Awesome. So you've got to absolutely spend time with God. And eventually he will reveal to you your purpose. Understand this, though. Once you find out your purpose, like the Israelites found out they were going to the promised land, understand that there will be conflict. It just is going to happen. There's no way around it. It's just how things work. It's not going to be easy. If it was easy, anybody could do it, right? God will never give you an assignment that you can do without him. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just job security with God, but he just won't do it. Because if he give you an assignment that you can do without him, then you would do it, and then you'd look back and say, look what I've done, and he wouldn't get any glories. But when he gives you something that you can't do without him, then when it's done, you can say, look what God has done, and that's what it's all about really anyway, right? Amen? Okay. So, conflict. Embrace it. Don't be afraid of it. It's going to happen. Matter of fact, I'd worry if it didn't. If you're off doing something and the enemy's not concerned about you, you may want to double check what's going on. Seriously, so prayer, serious time with God. I'm talking about relationship with God. Not relationship with your husband. Not just talking to your husband or your spouse or talking to me. If you come to me, I'm just going to tell you what I feel, and then you're going to be manifesting what I speak into your life instead of what God is speaking into your life. We don't need that. All right, so where did I leave off? Moses, okay. All right, so they're yelling at Moses, right? Okay, cool. So Moses answers the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." Something. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. And then he gets excited. He says, "The Lord will fight for you, and you need only to be still." Okay. So basically, I just need to continue praying. And when the conflict comes, be still, because the Lord will. Okay. All right. Move on. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me?" This is key. This is good. This is my favorite part. When God reveals to you what it is you're destined to do, why keep asking him, God? Why keep asking God, what next, what next, what next? He's already told you what he wants you to do. "Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch it out, and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." He said, "Moses, I told you what I wanted you to do. I told you I wanted you to deliver my people out of Egypt. Why are you crying out to me? What is that in your hand?" He said, "This is a staff." He said, "Well, stretch it forth." And when he stretched it, I don't think he stretched it to the right. He didn't stretch it this way. He didn't stretch it that way. He didn't stretch it behind him. But he stretched it in the direction where he was going. What's that in your hand? First of all, you got to understand there's something in your hand. First of all, what is in your hand? Pastor Sean is extremely athletic. Plays on the basketball team. A couple of you guys are on a team. Saw a couple of you guys that play on the team. Basketball. It's crazy. It's like, I'm okay. I'm on the team as well. I try to get a couple points every now and then. You know, I'm nothing to brag about. But I know what I need to do. The goal is, in order for you to be successful, is you got to take what's in your hand and line it up to what your eyes see. It's like hand and eye coordination, you know. Line it up to hit the goal. You've got to coordinate what God has put in your hand. You don't need anybody to pray for you. You don't need to wait for the situation to get right. You have purpose. You have a call. God's put something in your hand. And you've got to line it up. Coordinate what's in your hand. So he stretches the staff forward. We know the story, right? The waves spread apart. For the first time in history, the Red Sea had a footprint at the bottom of it. Right? When you line up what God puts in your hand, when you line up what he puts in your hand to what you see, it says faith without works is dead alone, right? So when you line up what was in your hand, God will take you places that no one else has ever been before. Amen? I'm going to close because, well, I don't have a whole lot. But when you go, I want you to understand who's going with you. You've got to understand God's love. I was going through my hard times and the enemy was attacking, I started thinking, I think crazy things sometimes, but I was like, why does the enemy hate me? No, I mean, seriously, like, what did I ever do to that guy? Why does he hate me so much? And then I got a revelation. Not about me at all. God is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. You can't do anything to hurt him. The only thing the enemy has to hurt God, in a sense, I know it sounds crazy to say it, but when he hurts us, it's the only way he can get to God. God loves us so much that he makes himself vulnerable to the enemy. This is crazy, God. What in the world? He allows himself to, at times, to be hurt by the enemy because of his love for us. Insane. And so I did this with the kids once. I had all the kids say, okay, kids, close your eyes. Matter of fact, close your eyes. And I want you to think about Jesus on the throne. We just celebrated Christmas. We celebrate God's birth. And I know the most important symbol of our faith is the cross. And you can't take anything from the cross. It is important, the most important thing ever. But I want you to think about Jesus on the cross. On the throne. I apologize. He's on the throne. And there's creatures and there's worshipers all around him crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. He doesn't need anything else. He's got everyone crying out holy. But then he sees you in your sin. He sees you about to die. And a king of glory sees it and he gets up off of his throne. He fights through the crowds of people. He comes down on this earth, a king to become less than you, to become the poorest of poor. He didn't have to give up anything for you. He didn't need you. It's his love for you. It's why he gave himself. He gave up his royalty. He gave up his kingship for you. Now, he's called you to do something. Do you think he's going to let you fail as much as he loves you? I'm going to close with this. I want you guys, my heart is for you to fulfill what God has called you to, so that when you get to heaven, of course, he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. But I also want him to say, you fulfilled everything I've destined for you to fulfill. So those of you who don't know why you were created or what your purpose is, 2014, I'm just going to ask you to spend some time with God, crying out. And no, it's going to take some time. It's not going to happen the first, second, or third time, but continually cry out to him. And for those of you who do know your purpose, your calling, it's time to start coordinating. Hand and eye coordination. And we'll be believing with you. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Sean. And I just believe that God wants to do some things in some of your lives this morning. So, Pastor Sean.
Excellent word. Some of you, I know the conversation, so I can't look at you right now because I'm like, see? Just exactly what Wendell said. We're going to take a moment just to commit to the Lord what we've heard. I'm going to ask you real quick to take out this newsletter because what Wendell said is goes along with what's about to happen. If you open up to page 2, there is the call for the I Resolve series. Wendell said, hand-eye coordination. Take what you do have and make a resolution to aim for what God's speaking you at. Coordinate. So that's really what this next series is all about, is about making a decision. And I've tried to be very careful in that article there to talk about this is the model of Jesus. We're not talking about New Year's resolutions that other people don't fail. We're talking about Jesus comes out of where? He comes out of the wilderness, which was himself living the history of God's people. He's anointed. He is sent into the wilderness by the Spirit. Why? Just to say it? No, he's mimicking what the children of Israel went through to get to the promised land. He goes through the wilderness, And he comes out in Luke chapter 4, and the scripture says he's full of the Holy Spirit. And as he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he says that, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach, to proclaim, to release. Jesus makes some resolutions, like, because the Spirit of the Lord is on me, I am doing this. What everything Wendell just talked about. What I've got in my hand, I'm going to focus on the goal, and I'm going to move towards it. And that's what this month of January is going to be about. We're making resolutions, not in our own strength and not in our own dependency, in the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill His purpose for our life. If you look at page three, we're going to do exactly what Wendell just challenged us to do. Now, this cannot replace your own personal prayer, but this can be part of who you are as the people of God. Next Sunday, the first resolution is to pray with persistence. And that's exactly what Wendell was talking about this morning. That's not the first time. It's not the second time. It may not be the third time. I need to continue to pray to hear from the Lord. And what you'll notice is, first of all, we're going to have a real treat. Next Sunday, we have Pastor Wayne, our lead pastor here for 22 years before me. He's going to be here, and he's got a word that he feels like. We talked about him coming because he's going to be in the area, and I was struggling with, well, I've got this word already from the book of Luke that I really want to give. And so I'm like, well, you know, Wayne, if you've got a chance to speak, I want you to come speak. And he said, well, Sean, I've got this word from Luke. He saves the same chapter and verse as I was going to give you. I'm not lying. And he says, I really feel like we need to speak from there. I'm like, sold, you know, good. So it's going to be a real treat next week. As he comes and shares a word that he feels like he has for church. And he's got 22 years invested in this church. So he's got a word. We need to listen to it. And so he's going to be here sharing. And that's going to kick off a week of prayer. We're going to take the resolution of persistent prayer. And we're going to do something with it. So you'll see there a week of prayer schedule. Now, Monday night, January 6th, the one prayer time we're asking every household to show up to is Monday night at 7 o'clock, the first night of prayer as a church. We're asking for someone from every household to come before the Lord together. And now we're not saying the whole family can't come, but we're saying at least one of you come. Because every household, we want to come before the Lord and say, Lord, in this year of 2014, we want to follow you and we are pressing in prayer. Now, every day during that week, there's going to be prayer in the morning, in the lunchtime, so you can just come and bring for lunch, and also in the evening. Different ministries. You'll notice Monday, we're praying for the harvest. We really got to get that sense of, Lord, you want us to reach the lost. You want us to have a compassion for others like we know you have compassion for us. Tuesday, we want you to bring prayer into your workplace. And so not only are we having different prayer times here, but we want you to commit on that day, whether you can get some other Christians you know of, or you do it by yourself, and obviously students, this is part of school too, we want you to figure out a prayer time at your workplace that Tuesday. On Wednesday, we want to pray for our county, because we want to pray, you know, we want to pray where we're planted. And so we are going to be having prayer. We want to invite you. Actually, it says email county officials. Actually, that's a prayer walk in your neighborhood that day. We want you to pray in your neighborhood. We want you to go on a prayer walk and pray for your neighbors. Sarah and I went through the fourth, fifth time of inviting neighbors who politely did not respond and never come, even though we invite them. You know, we're like, I'm not going to be mad. I'm just going to keep praying for you. And, you know, we're just going to keep praying. So we're going to have that prayer walk on Wednesday. That night, I am asking pastors of the community, I've asked pastors of the community to join me in going before the board of supervisors and other pastors, including us. We already did this last year. We're going to make a commitment to the board of supervisors to pray for them for the entire year of 2014. And so last year we made the commitment. This year I'm inviting other pastors to make their churches make the commitment as well. And we're going to show up and we're going to present with them a resolution of prayer on that day. Thursday, it's for our schools, students, not only for you organizing prayer in your schools, but also for all our church family to be praying for the schools. Pastor Travis is going to be putting something together specifically for that. Friday. It's absolutely for our nation. And there's a few things the Lord's put on my heart that I'm actually got to talk to Congressman Forbes about. And I'll be giving some more information about that. And then Saturday is a day of prayer at home that we're asking you to really take some time to pray. You'll note where childcare is available. So we want you to know that next week, this time of prayer is coming forward, and we're asking all of you to be a part of it. And then you'll see the next week we're doing I Resolve to Grow with God, and some of the very things that Wendell said, again, we're going to focus on as we prepare for the new year of growth. So I wanted to share these things with you. Each year I share a word that I believe captures what God is doing in us. Last year, and I don't think this is end, the year of harvest. We need to start getting in a harvest mentality. We're just beginning to learn to do that. I don't think that ends at all. But the Lord spoke to me very clearly that 2014 is a year of building. It's a year of building for His purposes. And actually, you know, I looked back, I said, God, well, that makes totally sense. Every time harvest, the building is always connected to harvest. And so I'm going to share as we move forward in the month some of the places and some of the goals of 2014 that we build together. Pastor Sandy's a big part of that, as we build the harvest and build receiving the harvest. And we're going to talk about some other things that God's going to be doing among us for a year of building in God's purposes. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me in prayer. And Wendell, thank you again for that word. And as we've given thanks, we're going to begin to commit ourselves and prepare ourselves for a year of building. I'm going to ask you to bow your head, and would you take the word that was delivered through Wendell this morning, that you need to know your purpose, and that if there's not a place of clarity there, that you begin to ask God to build that in you as we begin this year. Would you take a moment to ask the Lord to do that? Then I'll close us in prayer. Lord, we are so hungry for your glory to be known in ways we've never seen it. May we take the staff, may we put it towards where we're going, may we take what's in our hand and resolve to point and face and move forward to the place you've called us to. I pray for those that they would not be afraid of the wilderness. Lord, many have already walked in, and this word is an absolute confirmation that they should not turn back. Lord, there are others, Lord, that need to hear again that the wilderness is about a promised land. It's not about being stuck there. It's about getting through it. And Father, I pray in this place that is, Lord, the words come forth. We need to pray with persistence. So, Lord, prepare us, and not just through some programs next week. Lord, change us. Get us hungry. Get us, Lord, restless until we take the moment to pray. Lord, starting today, guide us, Lord. I'm going to ask, as your head is bowed and your eyes is closed, if there's anybody here this morning, you don't know Christ, you've been in church a lot, you've heard this invitation before, but you need to come and know Christ. You need to begin this new year, finish this old year, begin this new year with a decision to follow Christ, to know Him so that you can know your purpose and walk in His calling. Is there anybody here who needs to make that decision as 2013 finishes up? I'm just going to invite you to look up at me, raise your hand so I know that it's you. Is there anybody here this morning who needs to make that decision? I'm certain there are many of you who need to rededicate your passion, your focus to following the Lord. So, Father, we do that together, praying the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.